If you've been driving around St. Louis over the past few years, you've probably seen a sign or two for a man named Jimmy Matthews. You've probably wondered, who is this person? And why does he keep running for office? Well, Matthews himself joined us on the Politically Speaking podcast to tell us why he continues to pursue public service and why he's the best candidate to become St. Louis's mayor. So let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, a candid conversation with the Show Me State's biggest political newsmakers.
I'm Jason Mersenbaum.
And I'm Joe Manis.
That's Eric Greitens, Navy SEALs running for governor, and I'm really, really glad to be on with you, Jason and Joe.
I'm going to push back on these regulators.
I'm doing this for the people.
I was encouraged along the way, not just by my family, but by a lot of teachers and professors, and knew when I was in college that I would run for office someday.
We're very excited about the prospect of having some more free market solutions.
Even though after the conversation, I still might not agree.
We want our listeners to get a real sense of what drives these people.
They're actually people with a story to tell.
And welcome to the Politically Speaking podcast. I'm your host, Jason Rosenbaum, a reporter with St. Louis Public Radio. Joining me in studio today is
Rachel Lippman, another reporter with St. Louis Public Radio.
Joe Manis is on assignment today. So we have as our special guest, as a continuation of our mayoral interview series,
Jimmy Matthews, candidate for mayor of the city of St. Louis.
We are pleased to have you today in our beautiful St. Louis Public Radio studios. I noticed that you had a hat that said Jimmy Matthews for mayor. What does it say right there?
It's my red cap that I'm wearing. It says Matthews for mayor, city of St. Louis, vote March 7, 2017, community and political activist.
It's actually taped onto a hat. Is that just a plain red hat, or does it have a logo?
Well, it's part of my creativity in this, is that I have this taped on with a kind of a badge, like.
I would say that's very creative, and you deserve a lot of kudos for that. And you also have some very nice rings.
Yeah, this is copper.
Copper.
Along with my copper chain that with the cross.
Any reason why you chose copper?
Copper is supposed to have something to do with arthritis. Keep it down.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know you had arthritis.
I do not have arthritis. I just make preventive measure. I eat so I won't starve.
Fair enough. So you were one of seven Democratic candidates seeking to succeed St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. You ran for mayor in 2013. Did you run for mayor before then as well?
I ran. That was the first time I ran for mayor, but I ran for several other offices. I was an alderman of the 27th Ward. Ran for that in 85. Also, I ran for committee man, 27th Ward, and we won both of those offices.
So from what I remember, you have run for mayor, recorder of deeds, board of aldermen president, alderman again,
sheriff. Yeah.
Is there any other office I'm missing?
I don't know, but I plan to run till I win.
You do?
Yes.
And you haven't won any of those offices.
I won the alderman's job.
In the 1980s.
Yes. And I ran the committeeman's job of the 27th Ward.
But the other ones I mentioned, you've not even come close.
Well, what I do, I build political capital and name recognition.
Mm-hmm. So, continue.
So, tell us, a little bit about who you are. Who is Jimmy Matthews? What should people who are listening to this need to know about you?
Well, Jimmy Matthews is a married man for 26 years. I have three children and grandchildren and a few grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I'm a graduate from UMSL with a master's degree in special ed. Also graduated from Forest Park and Business Administration. Graduated from Rankin Technical College in Automotive Technology. Graduated from Harris Stowe in the area of teacher social studies degree. Graduated from O'Fallon Technical High School, studied auto mechanics. And before I graduated, I was going out in the community teaching auto mechanics.
What's your profession right now?
I'm a retired school teacher. I am and been for years a real estate broker, developer. I'm also a mechanic, businessman. A pastor church. We organized a church some 30 plus years ago, and I'm a draftsman. I worked at the city of St. Louis as a draftsman, McDonnell Douglas as a draftsman when it was McDonnell Douglas, Emerson Electric, comprehensive design as a draftsman, a technical illustrator as well. Mm-hmm. So I have multiple talents.
So what drives you to keep running for these offices?
Well, I was retired 2007 from teaching school, and Trayvon Martin was killed. And I could not sit home and go about doing my business. I promised my wife I was going to make her $1 million and leave it with her before I go leave this planet. So I was inspired by what happened to what Zimmerman did to the young man. And also thereafter, Brown was killed in Ferguson and those kinds of things. As a preacher, a man of God, I feel compassion and love for everybody, and that just really forced me not to sit down and do nothing.
So you got involved kind of I know you've been running since before 2012 when Trayvon Martin was killed. What sort of inspired you to make the initial run for public office, to transition from the jobs you'd had to being more political?
Well, I'm always political. I've been in politics since I was 18 years old in the 1st Congressional District with Congressman Clay Sr. So I've been working with him, his son, and others. I was talking to Vince Shamer downstairs, and I supported him in 85, somewhere
and
in 80.
Just for our listeners, that is actually true. I saw the former mayor talking with Mr. Matthews, but continue.
Yeah, Vince and I, we was chatting about what was happening. I said, man, you never supported me for nothing. And Vince had said he was going to open up Homer Phillips when Conway, Mayor Conway closed it down. And another thing that inspires me to run for mayor, I was when I was a St. Louis ambassador on the Pelker, Mayor Pelker, he let me sit in the seat that the mayor sat at. So that's been a sort of a thing in my mind to deal with that in running for mayor. And one day I said to myself, this was something I was talking within myself, saying, one day I should sit in this seat. And so that's one of my aspirations and motivation, things I want to do before I leave planet Earth.
I got to ask this because we asked this to Bill Haas. How do you pay for running for all these offices?
Well, you can beg folks for money, which I choose not to do. I spend my own money and my own time. And so I figure time is money. So I have plenty of time and less money.
Because I've noticed I live on the South Side, and I'm sure this is a topic you want to get into in depth, but I see a lot of your signs in the South Side. Mm-hmm. And I'm always wondering, because I don't see an MEC report, like how do you pay for all those signs?
Well, I save up. Mm-hmm. I have some monies that I was planning to rehab four houses that I have. Under my authority, and some of that cash is used for this candidacy. I'm going to spend less money and get more votes.
So let's dive into issues before we get into the campaign. Mm-hmm. One of the things that pretty much all the candidates are talking about is crime. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, if you're mayor, what are you going to do to deal with the crime issues that are not only on the north side, but also on the south side and all over the city as well?
Yeah. Well, I was on South Grand the other day, past Lauper, I believe, on South Grand. And it's a Walgreens. I was talking to a guy that owns a business, and he was telling me about they had a shootout at the Walgreens just the other day, a few days ago. Never got to the news. So a lot of crime is happening all throughout the city, but it never gets reported on the news like it do in North St. Louis. So as a result, we have a tendency to stigmatize North St. Louis, the only place crime is occurring.
Yes, which is why...
What I want to do as a mayor of the city of St. Louis is that I'm going to require any police officer who is working or hired by the city should live in the city of St. Louis. We're going to try and hire people from every part of the city that want to live in the city, that wants to serve in the fire department as well as in the police department. So when you live in a community, you have more stake in whether the community is safe for your kids. So the policemen, the firemen say, I don't want to live in the city. I want my family safe. So we move out in the county where we can think that we're safe. But nobody is safe when criminals run loose. and we had 188 killings, murders in the city of St. Louis. I haven't heard of one getting solved. If you solve the crime, you catch the criminal, and therefore they will be off the street. But if they still running rampant, then we're going to have more crime, and then they're going to think that they can get away with crime, especially black-on-black crime. Anything happened in Central West End, seemingly, that they put all the dogs out to catch the dog, catch the person that committed the crime. But in North St. Louis, no rewards, very seldom that occurs, except for this young lady that got killed in 27 Ward.
I just kind of want to push back a little bit on the not getting solved. I see releases all the time that the police have made an arrest in the case. I think the clearance rate, it might not be great. It's about 50%, but they do certainly get solved. I wanted to kind of circle back, though,
on... Well, let's talk about in North St. Louis. How many get solved over there?
Don't know how it breaks down, but if the majority, Alderman.
Yes.
If the majority of the crime happens in North St. Louis, then the ones that are being solved would also be majority in St. Louis. I've seen a number
in
where
North
the
St.
in North St. Louis. I have seen a number where the crime does happen in North St. Louis.
I differ.
Okay. How do you think that having the officers live in the neighborhoods will bring down crime? What's your plan to address some of the other issues?
Well, let me say this. There are aldermen don't live in the neighborhood as represented. There's other people who don't live in the neighborhood, but they have some earnings from that. The point I'm saying is I live in the 27 Ward. I live in the Walnut Park community. We have an organization we formed called People Involved for a Better Community. If you involve the church and the community in the community, and they will be able to help in dealing with crime. We don't love crime. I'm a minister. I go out in the neighborhood. I talk to the people in the community. I talk to the guys that's involved in crime. One guy, he was selling drugs. He was telling me the police came and took his drug and his money, let him go. So he's in trouble with the people that gave him money to sell, gave him the drugs to sell. Things like that occurring in our community. I don't know if it's in South St. Louis, in your community, but in our community where I live, I'm not staying at home. I'm walking the streets.
Well, the reason I always make sure to be careful of not just saying it's a North St. Louis problem. There are parts of Southeast St. Louis where crime is a big problem.
Yeah,
my neck of the woods in St. Louis Hills, probably not as much.
Right.
But I think that this
Tell me why it's not as much.
Tell me why it's not as much.
Well,
that's been a question I've been asking because I think that there's a feeling like the police give more coverage to the middle or upper class parts of the city than the north side or the southeast side. Is that something that you've heard as well?
Well, let me also say this too. I was at Chippewa and Hampton, sitting in the McDonald's hamburger place. Somebody stole my battery, cut my cables off my truck, and cut the fuel lines and vacuum lines. Right there, I was parked near a ATM machine. I'm quite sure that development has security cameras throughout.
Are you talking about the Hampton Village?
Right.
Okay.
Nobody showed up. I called the police 911 at 8:54. Nobody came. Okay. So that's those incidents with the police telling me they have priority calls. I could have called it. The time I called, he probably could have never got a call and never come make any excuse that they have backup and all that stuff. And then I talked to an officer over there, and he was trying to demonstrate how they got this, video on different crimes happening and occurring. And he was giving me an example. I only seen about three or four at that time, that he was saying that was inactive, that was active crime or situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to prioritize 911 calls, we need not call 911. We ought to have another number to call where you can just prioritize and get there next week.
I think that's the non-emergency number, isn't it? Isn't there a
911? I thought
for
it was emergency. I thought that was an emergency number. Do you know another number that's emergency?
There's 231-1212 is the non-emergency line.
Well,
I know that.
Well, tell me what the emergency line is.
I thought you were asking for one that where you could send quote non-priority
calls.
No.
What I'm trying to say, I called a 911 call. They didn't show up.
So how would you address a concern of police not showing up? I mean, this is obviously
something you say has affected
you personally.
If I'm mayor, we're going to make sure we have a chief that serves the community and not make excuses for not.
Will it be Sam Dotson?
No, it would definitely not be him. When this is administration, you see what's happening. So I should put somebody in the office that I'm having problems with showing up in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And to even when I'm over there in the neighborhood that I don't live in over there at Hampton Village.
Mm-hmm. So another issue that's been percolating throughout the mayoral race is tax incentives and development. There's been, I think, a new force on the Board of Aldermen that's kind of pushing back against tax incentives because they feel like they're being used too much in the Central Corridor. What's your thought on that issue?
Well, when I was on the board in 85, I was against the whole idea of tax abatement, where you allow people that's rich build a property in the community, and as a result, they pay less taxes than the building that they built. So those type of so-called incentives basically was welfare to the corporate developers. And they have used that and continue to exploit that, and aldermen or other people on the board, established politicians, they just go along with that because they get certain probably financial contribution for their campaign. So you have to realize that when they vote on an issue, it has to be something involved for that particular older person that supports it for some reason or another. I don't know.
They can't just be believing that it's a good strategy?
No, sometimes you do it. You do things for three reasons. One is for a moral reason, economic reason, or political reason. That's what I think. So if I had to analyze that, whatever the alderman does or the mayor or any elected official does, you have to look at those three types of reason why they would vote for giving a tax abatement and giving out tax monies to and TIF monies, free money to developers.
Well, this is the rejoiner that I've been using as a devil's advocate question. So St. Louis isn't operating in a vacuum. There are other St. Louis County municipalities that have been pretty aggressive at luring companies to their area, like Chesterfield or Maryland Heights. So if we, as a city, pare down tax incentives, even for the Central Corridor, is the city going to lose those opportunities to the county?
Well, I'm a real estate broker. And the most important thing in real estate is location, location, location. The land that's in the St. Louis City is the best land comparable to those lands you just mentioned.
Even though you can build an entirely new building on a greenfield as opposed to rehabbing a building?
I don't understand your saying.
Well, what I'm saying is that the other attractive thing that those counties offer, or those cities and the counties offer, is the fact that you can just build a building from scratch, which is probably less expensive than rehabbing an old one.
We got enough vacant buildings, vacant lots in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. The LRA owns 11,000 vacant lots and buildings.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back, Jefferson and Market Street used to be a Mill Creek area. They tore down all those black houses, families, moved them out of that area. If you look at Jefferson and Market Street now, St. Louis University got some of that land. And that's so they can tear down the building. They don't have to rehab everything that's standing. There's some buildings is not rehabable. Mm-hmm. If you look in the North St. Louis area, you look what NGA did.
Mm-hmm.
They blighted everything. St. Louis U is blighting 400 acres and all that. So the point of it is vacant buildings can be torn down. Vacant lots can be occurred. And that's what's been occurring in North St. Louis for the last, many years, ever since Pruitt Igoe was torn down.
If location's a key part of real estate development, how would you as mayor go to these companies and say, this is a good location to put it in?
No, I'm not going to even do that. The people in the community should be the developers of the community. When you give people that's going to exploit the community, take advantage of the community, take tax dollars from the community, get tax abatement from the community, you should develop your own neighborhood. As mayor, I'm going to establish that type of arrangement. Every ward going to have an organization called the Community Church Development, Economic Development Group, and we're going to provide the professional assistance. You always can hire a developer to do the project, but you own it when it gets done as a community, and you market it to the people in the community. We don't want gentrification or where you're moving people out that live there, moving in rich people, and the people that live there, they got to go somewhere wherever they can find housing. And most of the housing that poor people find is old houses falling down, need repairing, but they end up buying them or they rehab them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, after 30 years, if you retire on fixed income, the property's falling down and you don't have any money to fix it up. So the point I'm saying is that's one thing on my things to do list on the as mayor is to make sure we provide grants to homeowners so that they can repair their homes. Dealing with two birds with one stone is that what happens with that money that the owner gets to fix their home, we find someone in the community to do home repair. They would hire some young people in the community to learn how to do work of that kind. Mm-hmm. They can go into your own business, talking about getting hired. You hire yourself, you work for yourself, you learn to do that.
There'll be no time to play safe. What's your thoughts on the city of St. Louis uniting with St. Louis County in some way?
No, that's politically not feasible, because what you do, you end up losing your political stronghold as a Democratic Party.
How so?
Because if you come to merge with the St. Louis County, the Republicans have their power base there, and their power base would be absorbed. In other words, you'd be diluted, you'd lose your political stronghold.
I've heard the opposite argument, that if the city joins the county, then the Republicans will have no chance at winning anymore.
I don't know who told you that, but I think
it's numbers, because the county is about 55% or 60% Democratic. If you add an 80% Democratic city to the mix, it's going to be incredibly Democratic.
Well, I think the county voters that's North St. Louis is holding their own for his Democrat. Mm-hmm. As you noticed, that there was some Democrats got elected on the council out there. So that's what you're talking about. So when you're talking about deserting your base to get diluted with some other people, thinking that way, that kind of thinking is not wise. It's not good thinking. It's not good political strategy. So if you're talking politics, that's fine. If you're talking economics, all the money from the county would come in and buy up everything in the city, and you won't have anything. Matter of fact, there's some people out in Clayton own some land in the city and buying up land in the city and building in the city. So who you think building these corporations? Are they local? Are they county? Are they out of town or where? There's definitely not too many companies in the city doing that.
But the point is, you're a no.
Huh?
You're a no on this issue.
No, you know.
Okay.
Moving on to something that it sounds like you know well, having been a retired teacher, and that's the issue of education. The mayor has no direct control over the schools in the city of St. Louis. But how would you use your position as mayor with either an elected board regaining power or with the special administrative board in power? What do you see as being the mayor's role in dealing with, promoting, and working with the St. Louis public schools?
Okay, the mayor has control or had control. Then you notice that they turned the board back over to the elected official. I don't think that's happened finally.
No, it has not happened yet.
Yes.
No.
The mayor appoints those commissions, one of them. And also
of the special administrative
of the special
board.
Administrative board, right, correct. Right, the non-elected
right,
board.
Right. So then the president of the board of Alderman appoints one. I think the governor appoints one. So it's three board members there that's running the city of St. Louis Public Schools. The mayor also was involved in making sure the superintendent, he has something to do with him coming to the city of St. Louis. So if he controls,
maybe indirectly, but not directly.
Well, you use your political influence.
Yeah.
So the mayor, you have just as much control by influencing other people.
So how would you use the influence you say the mayor has for the St. Louis public schools? What would be your focus?
My focus would be, my influence would be with the parents. See, we have parent teachers parts of our school that has no real power in determining who's going to be the principal and so forth in the school system, but yet they want to include them with no power. It's like having that, police board, that oversight board, that they don't want them to have power and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you have power to subpoena power, ability to fire the principal and that type of stuff. When you get your own people in place that's going to represent and serve the interests of the people in the community, treat parents with respect, and the parents, when they have the power, power is in the hand of the people, then you're going to get what you want for the people, and people are going to demand what they want because they're in a position of power.
Mm-hmm. So where did your children go to school?
Oh, man. My son, he went to Cardinal Ritter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned two other children
as well. They are my wife's children.
Okay.
And they went to out there in the county.
Okay.
And then went to Sumner. One went to Sumner.
Okay. I've been asking all the candidates that because I'm not just to reveal their choices, but to ask this following question. Yeah. I think that one of the biggest challenges the St. Louis public schools have is convincing middle and upper class white people with kids like myself to send their kids to St. Louis public schools. I'm just curious how you're going to be able to convince people that are like me who have choices to send their kids to school.
Yeah. Well, if you live in a neighborhood that you live in, for instance, and you actively in community with the school that's in your community, you and the group that's living in that community has influence of that school and the principals and administrators. Mm-hmm. That's where your power comes from, the people power. You invest yourself in the interests of people, your organizational structure in the community. The politician will never get elected without your vote. So you have power to vote. You have power to numbers. There's more people like you that forms a neighborhood, can influence everybody in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. People power.
But most people in my neighborhood, St. Louis Hills, probably send their kids to Catholic school and not St. Louis public school. And I want to just emphasize, I have a 3-year-old son. I would like him to go to a public school. I don't want him to go to an economically or racially homogenous educational institution. I don't think that's good for him or anybody.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just one person.
Yeah.
And if you don't multiply this by thousands, you're going to have the issues
Let me say this.
Sure.
I'm one person.
Yeah.
I'm running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe my one vote counts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you one person to think your vote don't count, you can't get to 100 unless you start with one.
That's true.
So you need to understand that your power is the oneness you have, your ideas, your influence that you create, and the political power that you create. So you got to not think you're a failure before you start.
I don't think I'm a failure, but I recognize the challenge ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, what is life about?
Challenges.
Okay, then. So you don't want to deal with them.
So I want to deal with all the challenges. Okay, by our powers combined, we are Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I don't know about Captain Planet. I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Do you know who Captain Planet is?
Well, you tell me.
He's a cartoon.
Well, I deal with reality.
Okay. Well, fair enough. That was an interesting diversion. Let's talk about the campaign so far.
Well, I want to talk about the signs that
let's talk about the signs.
Yeah.
Is your entire campaign just putting out signs, or do you actually do something else?
Oh, I do something else. I pray for people on the street that I talk to. I talk to the homeless.
Uh-huh.
I'm out there with the homeless. I'm taking my picture.
I heard an anecdote on collateral damage that you had a 30-minute conversation with somebody at a Kmart trying to get their vote, and then you found out at the end of the 30-minute conversation that they were Republican.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I'm just wondering if that's a good use of your time.
No. My time is important. Let me tell you the strategy that I use. If I can talk to you for 30 minutes, you're not going to forget Jimmy Matthews.
That's true.
Even if the conversation was negative or positive, you can say, I talked to this crazy guy running for mayor. That spreads like wildfire. So when you talk to people and spend time with them, they get an impression about you, and then they'll go. And if they want to malign your character, talk negative about you, your name is still talked about. Trump won an election like that.
But you haven't won elections doing
that.
Yeah,
but you haven't either. And so I'm experimenting.
I'm not running for mayor.
No, I know, but I'm experimenting. I've won before, though. You need to know.
You won
that.
In the 80s, and then you've run multiple times and not won.
Well, then that don't mean I won't win.
On
the bottom of my literature, I say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Uh-huh.
That means it, running for office and winning.
Okay.
Yeah, or building a building. I got 4 properties that I'm going to fix up that I spend the money on that, so I'm going to have the money to do that.
But I'm one of the best rock band singers in the country,
My brother is a jazz musician, and he went to Dubai, and he played music, and he's the best piano player in the city of St. Louis and probably world greatest.
But he's not going to be mayor.
Yeah, but I'm going to be. You're not going to be mayor because you don't run.
That's true.
So I'm going to be mayor because I run.
That's fair.
Okay, then.
Now let's talk about the signs again.
Yes, sir.
I think that there are some people, maybe like the alderman from the 25th Ward, who feel like the signs are not a sign of your support, but basically littering. Can you respond to
but
that?
But then you ought to tell all the rest of the people that's putting their signs where I put mine, like Lyda Cruz, Boyd, French, Jones, and all the only somebody don't have signs out is Hass. Okay.
Haas. I think he's going to have signs.
Well,
he
what
told he's us
going
he
has... to do, he haven't done it. I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm not talking about going to do it.
But is that really an effective strategy?
Well, let me say this. Everybody I talk to, I've seen your signs. Let me tell you, every time you see Wheaties advertised or whatever product on the television, they advertise 100 times every day, and nobody talks about that they should stop advertising. So it's advertised. It's promoting my candidacy, people, name recognition, all that. When they go to vote, they're going to look down the list, and my name is at the bottom of the list of who's running for mayor. And if they see Jimmy Matthews, oh, I recognize that name. If you ever went to vote and see all them judges' names on there, who is this? I don't know him. So I look for people I can recognize the name, have some interaction with, then I vote for that guy, even if I never met him.
Have you gotten permission to put the signs where you are putting them?
Well, you ought to tell those
I'm asking, have you gotten permission to put the
signs? You don't need permission to do things in life. If you violate the law, they think you violate the law, lock me up.
Well, I've seen you.
Charge me.
I have actually seen you because your truck is very noticeable.
Yeah, I told you they messed my truck up. They sabotaged it.
I have seen you put signs near the grassy strip near
and
the
everybody
target.
Else doing it.
But when I come home from work, I don't see them anymore.
They steal them.
Who's they?
They who wants to steal my sign. They the establishment. They the alderman.
Okay.
They the opposition.
You got 1% of the vote in 2013. Why would there be a concerted effort to steal your sign?
Yeah, but a sheriff race, I got 2,800 votes.
Okay.
You didn't notice that, did
but
you?
But can you answer my question?
Hey, look, let me tell you, this is a long-range thing. It's a 100-year war.
Okay.
So if you're going to continue to fight for our justice, you're going to continue to fight for political rightness and correction, a correctiveness, and all that type of thing. If you got a goal, I'm a political activist and community activist. I don't stop if I don't win today. I will be there tomorrow. If I don't win tomorrow, I'll be there the next day. So I'm going to continue this until I go to heaven.
Really?
Yes.
So if you don't win the mayor's race, what are you going to run for next?
If I win the mayor's race, I'm running for governor.
Okay. But if you don't win, what are you going to run again?
If I don't win, I'll run in the next race.
Which is,
you name it.
Recorder of deeds again.
Name it. I don't think so.
Collector of revenue.
Board president. I mean, what else is up?
President. Just name it. I have plenty of opportunities, don't I?
I think you should run for recorder of deeds.
No,
again.
I should do what I'm doing.
I agree. No, my only other question is, you wore a cowboy hat during your sheriff's race. Why aren't you wearing a cowboy hat anymore?
Man, come on. I'm not running for sheriff.
That's a fair point.
I got an outfit for everything I do.
Did you only wear that because you were running for sheriff?
Yes. A guy gave me some cowboy boots, too.
Well, I think you should keep wearing
that. No.
This
is me. This is my thing.
Fair enough.
You're not paying for this.
You're right. I'm not paying for this. I just say that because I have roots in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and I like cowboy hats
on
everybody.
I got kids in Houston, and they wear cowboy hats.
Well, Mr. Matthews, Mr. Alderman, Mr. Pastor, we just want to thank you for coming in
thank
for this
for
rip-roaring
me.
Time.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
For all of our stories, stlpublicradio.org. Follow me on Twitter at Jay Rosenbaum. Follow Rachel on Twitter at...
at R. Lipman, 2 P's and 2 N's.
You can follow Joe on Twitter at JManis. That's JManNIES. How would we find out more about your campaign?
My phone number is on my signs, so call me on my phone number. My phone number is area code 314-599-4500. You can go on my Facebook page and get some information. Mm-hmm. You can text message me, which I don't get around to them too rapidly. I was supposed to have been texted by the St. Louis University when they gave the meritorial thing just Saturday, Sunday. They left me off the program. Mm-hmm. I think it was intentionally. But they knew my phone number, I'm quite sure. They knew my address, I'm quite sure. My address is 5935 Lillian, St. Louis, Missouri, 613136. They can write me a letter. They can text message me, phone me. And
they can call you on your cell phone.
Cell phone. I got it here right now. Call me now.
Call them when they need your help.
Yes. I'm a matter of fact, when I become mayor, I'm still going to have the same phone number.
Well, that sounds great.
Yes.
Well,
and they also can email me if they want to. Jimmy Matthews. Jimmy, J-I-M-M-I-E, .Matthews, M-A-T-T-H-E-W-S. At att.net.
All right.
And it's on my literature.
We'll be back next time. Until then, so long.
You used to call me on my You used to, you used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone.